Pickaxe.
Hello and welcome to the Eurogamer Newscast, and this week we're discussing the biggest Xbox leak in history. We're looking ahead to the Switch 2's potential launch lineup. We're asking why there are so many industry layoffs, or at least that's what I would be saying. If you're listening to the Eurogamer Newscast, hello, I'm Tom, Eurogamer's editor and host of our weekly discussion podcast, where we break down the biggest gaming news stories and share insight from our news reporting team. Head to your favorite podcast app now to listen. Just search Eurogamer Newscast.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Pitch Please, the podcast where people who play games pitch ideas to people who make them. I feel a lot better about saying that now, Tom. Now
you've
kind of given me the pep talk about it last week.
Yeah, yeah. It's a good intro, damn it. Man,
yeah,
Alex.
I agree.
Gee howdy. I'm feeling real glum today. You know, I wish we had some real big banger ideas to pitch to people. Damn, if only there was a way that we could... Can we do that on this pod? We can.
This is a bit. I thought he was having a breakdown.
Yeah. I was trying to find a way to break the intro again, and I managed it. Oh, boy, Willikers. I wish we were joined by two devs that I could pitch some ideas to.
If only we were joined by James.
Hello, I'm James. One of the two devs working on Drink More Glurk.
I'm James.
Hi, I'm Chris, Brunchcup developer and living embodiment of the poo emoji. Chris, I said my name twice. I fucked up my own intro.
Wait, who was that voice
such like? A weird intro.
Patrick Stewart.
Patrick Stewart in the Emoji Movie. There you go.
There you go.
Chris is Patrick Stewart.
Patrick
as
Stewart.
The poo emoji, but engage. Not as anything else.
Can you do a Patrick Stewart voice?
Engage your bowels.
Just like he said in the movie.
Just
I
like he
it.
Says in Star Trek. Wow.
So if you're listening to this, very unlikely, but if you happen to be listening to this on Sunday, on the day it goes out, tomorrow, something special is happening, right?
It is. Actually.
You should probably specify the date, Alex.
So
the 20th.
Well, it would be the 19th today, right? If you listen to this on the Sunday, it's the 19th. The 20th tomorrow, being the 20th of July,
a Monday,
2020.
Before
the event, whatever that was. If you happen to be listening to this in the apocalypse at some point, if you've picked this podcast up like after some kind of apocalyptic event,
yeah,
this took place before that.
So hang on, what's the timeline?
Just saying that.
Today's Sunday. So,
today's Sunday.
Unless
tomorrow
this is the future in which
really
it's the apocalypse.
Cool thing happening the day after the event.
Monday the 20th of July.
What's the event?
8 p.m. Yogscast Twitch channel. Alex, what is happening? Jesus, this is like the worst sponsor ad ever.
It's not a sponsor ad.
Well, it's for a thing.
Basically, what we're doing is we've been approached by Core. Is it Core? What's the full name, Chris?
You know, so the website is coregames.com, and they approached us saying, hey, you guys come up with some crazy shit. Well, Tom does, and then Tom and Alex do, and then we tell them it's shit. They just say crazy. They just said shit. And they've challenged us to use their new game engine, which is based off Unreal Engine, to come up with and make a game in 3 hours.
We're going to make a game, finally.
So, but...
So Tom and I actually get to be devs.
But, and this is a big but, we need your help, I guess, because you guys can make... some Yogscast themed props that we can drag into the environment. So if you head over to coregames.com, download the thing, you can make some stuff, publish it to the community store with the name Yogs_ and then whatever you want to call it. And then we can find it and we can bring it into our game and then we can play it and we can see what we can make.
Yeah.
That's about it.
And you can watch us do it on twitch.tv/Yogscast on Monday, the 20th of July, 2020, prior to the apocalypse.
But yeah, after armchair animals.
Make sure you get all your stuff in on that day and make sure you watch then because the day after, something's going down.
Yeah, we're all dead.
What do you know about Tuesday the 21st?
I don't know, I've just got a bad feeling.
Spidey senses. I don't know about that one.
we're back, I think. Are we right in saying we're back in your hole this week, Tom?
Sort of, kind of. You're back in the hazel hole because hazel I've got hole. An idea that was sent to me by my brother who apparently likes the podcast, which is the first time I've heard that from literally anyone. And he sent an idea through. So would you like to go into my brother's pitch hole today?
Yes.
Please, I've been waiting for you to ask that.
I can't wait.
Have you? Have you? Because
that's all I've ever wanted.
Okay.
I'm suddenly aware that he's listening to this, and now I feel really awkward.
Well,
hi.
I'm sorry. What's his name?
Well, Ryan, my brother. We're going deep into your
hole.
Sorry,
Ryan. I didn't mean.
Right. Jump Let's in. Pound that hole. Pound my brother's hole. Yes, please. Yum, yum. Okay, so here we go.
Yeah.
I'm from Norfolk. So
really, I'm really glad I got that G&T in the end.
His idea, okay. I'll read the full thing. You play a vampire through the ages. Either each level is based around a different era in time, or you could have it open world, but time changes every so often with the story. With every kill or important action you take, you need to think about how to cover it up to avoid the world becoming aware of the existence of vampires. Here's the kicker. The penalty of not covering your tracks is that it makes future levels more difficult. The world becomes more aware and humans become more prepared for vampire attacks. Technology could be slightly different. You could have two different difficulty variables, one being the natural level progression and the other being through your own choices. And that's it. And you can tell he's listened to every episode because he's thrown out things like natural difficulty variables and all these things. It's amazing. He's talking like a game dev, which is what we're teaching people to do in this fucking weird podcast.
Yeah. So the first thing that came to mind was Tom's, what was the name of the one where we had Tom Clark on?
CT Life.
CT Life, that was it. The idea of like having stuff change over time depending on your actions in the past or during your playthrough. I know that's completely different in terms of the actual game it was, but...
Yeah, so I mean, obviously I think a couple of things can come to mind really quickly. One is Vampire the Masquerade, which is an open world RPG
I've never played.
You play as different covens of vampires that have different, like, they're basically
different
classes
based on what clan you join at the start.
Yeah, and I don't know the story of Vampire the Masquerade. I know there's a second one coming out soon, Bloodlines or whatever it's called.
I don't know, Tom. But I heard it sucks.
Went nuts for that.
I hate you. I hate you. I don't know if in killing people in the open. I guess that is like a small chase sequence. People come after you, but does it have an impact on the world? I'm not really sure. But I get the impression that each level, if it is a level-based thing, it's kind of Vampire Hitman, right? Where you have...
That sounds amazing.
You have like your target. This guy's got... He's real juicy. He's a big blood bag. And you have to get through the level to get to him using vampire skills.
In my head, I was imagining Dishonored... Assassin's Creed Brotherhood, where you build up your own clan and you can send them out to do stuff. But then the Dishonored style like the environment where it's all sort of not steampunky, but like it's an alternate time. I really like that. I think that fits really well in that theme. As well as like the game Thief. You know, the reboot they did. So like, obviously stealth is important where, you know, lights, sound, a lot of that plays into. But with Dishonored, hiding bodies and... Well, same with Hitman. But going the different routes of... You don't necessarily have to kill everyone. If you're trying to get to the one person, you can go stealth. You can go...
Who is this one person? Because it's not just... Are you thinking, or is he thinking, like, you have a target, like with Hitman? Or are you just trying to... You're just draining blood?
He's thinking exactly as much as I read... to you there. I didn't delve much deeper than this. I just took that prompt and stole it. So, I mean, it's up to us, Alex. That's how this podcast... Welcome, Alex. Welcome to Pitch, please.
Have we all
I
seen...
I like the idea of a target.
Have we all seen What We Do in the Shadows?
Yeah, I was trying to think about how we could wrangle that in.
Is this a comedy game and you're just like a terrible vampire trying to blend in? Or
it's
are you like...
Octodad, but vampires.
My feral vampire.
I tripped and fell and sucked your blood. Sorry.
I mean,
you have to put down sheets to make sure you don't make a mess.
I mean, I was basically just imagining Hitman, essentially, where the target at the end is the guy you wanna kill or not kill, but you know, feast on. That's what vampires do, right? And he's got the only blood that you like.
So that's an interesting point, though. Like, because you say feast or kill, that's a decision they have to make, right? Is it because if they feast on someone, then that person becomes a vampire, right? Is that how it works? I suppose it can work however we want it to work.
Feast, marry, kill, isn't it? That's the name of the game.
Yeah, that's definitely
that's
it.
What
yeah,
it is, yeah. So you have three choices at the end of every level.
Feast, marry, kill.
Feast them. Marry
where did marry
them.
Come from?
That's well, where you make them your. The three, you make them it? Your thrall. You make them your thrall, and they.
How many husbands and wives are you going to have?
You can have like a harem of vampires.
Oh, in thrall.
Yeah, okay. I mean, you're a vampire. Do you abide by the natural order?
Vampires are sexy, aren't they? Yeah,
exactly.
They're into that kind of, yeah.
When you said open world, my mind immediately went to like Kingdom Come Deliverance, but with like Rust style hunger. But it's
you
the
love
hunger
that
is
rust, don't you?
Well, no, but as in like you have a thirst, you have a. But then you have a hunger meter, so you can. There are targets and stuff to do, but you also need to maintain your level of hunger by, you know, draining certain people and then hiding or however you want to do it. But they need to not have. You need to either deal with the consequences of that, or hide them, or like dispose of them somehow.
Does it need like an extra element? Like you are you're trying to blend in as a normal person during the day. Like what are the consequences? You're just going to hide, go out at night, feast, come back, sleep, go out again. Is it like you're trying to live a normal life as well? So you've got to try and not get burnt by the sun.
Are you
and
trying to say you've got to masquerade yourself as a vampire?
I wonder what you're getting at there, Chris.
No, I just that is a word that works with that.
I mean, I like the idea that what James was saying about just the idea of there being other things than, because vampires don't need to feast constantly, do they? It's not like you're going through a level and you're like your meter, your blood meter or your life essence is constantly draining. So is it like going out on the hunt and hunting for something? Like what if that's a really big deal that you have to go and do that, and it's incredibly dangerous. Like it's very easy to get caught. It's a long con thing. You have to maybe like, what if there's like a whole relationship thing? You have to someone
element where you've got.
And it could be or maybe if you have to track someone down. You find like a lonely person in the city, and then you follow their movements. You're like, okay, I know this person lives on their own. I know they go to this coffee shop at this time or whatever. And so you spend the evenings. Not every evening you're going out and draining a target. You're looking for a target that you then follow the movements of, and then you're like, tonight's the night, I'm going to go and do it. I'm going to break into their house and...
Well, maybe that's the aspect that Ryan is saying, is that, you know, you could just randomly pick a target, but maybe they're maybe it's the like governor's daughter or something, or the police chief's son. And it's like that then incurs the wrath of the police department or something. So you've got to be sure that the person you're picking doesn't have any connections or... is like a low down person in the hierarchy.
So it's a lot of this game like research, like researching your
big wall with all the pictures of people with strings. Who are they connected to? Who can I bump off and no one will notice?
In Vampire Masquerade, I feel like there is a class of vampires in a particular house or whatever it is, I can't remember,
clan,
that can only have like noble blood or rarefied, not rarefied, but you know, like of a particular family, like
elven,
elven blood. They can only have blood from people that are rich for whatever reason. I can't remember.
Right.
So maybe that's you. You can only have blood from well-known people or
famous.
I don't know what makes their blood different, but it's just full of cocaine, and you just need it.
Keep away from the celebrity endorsement. Drug blood.
So you need drug blood.
Can I ask, in everyone's minds, where, I know you said over a series of time, but where is this set in your head, Alex?
I'm imagining Hitman, but in a kind of, but like, at night time, you know, like neon rainy Sleeping Dogs. That's what I'm imagining. Okay. Sleeping Dogs.
So modern then.
Because I was thinking I really wanted a cyberpunk, like a gritty cyberpunk future vampire. City vampire game.
Okay. Right.
Like it's an evolved nice world. City. They know exist. Like they know vampires exist. Because a lot of the medieval ones, like when you see them, you're it's all myths and legends and whatever. Mm. But what if it was a world where, you know, they know vampires exist, so there are vampire hunter, like like squads. It's like Deus Ex, but
so it
vampires.
Starts with everyone knowing that you exist, and I guess having some basic defense against vampires.
I feel like a lot of the things, the common themes of vampire games is that they're all like, no, don't get caught because you'll uncover the vampire society. It's like, what if people knew they existed? What if they were like their own faction? Like,
okay, what if it's they've just discovered vampires exist? So right at the very beginning, they've got very basic defenses against you. Because if it's a world in which everyone knows vampires exist, they'll have defenses already put together.
But then, that's where you can get crazy with it. You can come up with these weird defenses. Like, it could be like, you know, one of your guys is in a fucking hall of mirrors and you can't see your own reflection. So you're just walking into walls. Like,
but unless vampires do exist, but they're not the only big threat. Like, what if it's like a what's it called? The Telltale
Wolf Among Us.
That kind of thing. Yeah. Where it's like there are lots of these different kinds of creatures
like
and
Will
weird
Smith
threats
movie.
That exist in this city.
Bright.
Yes.
That Netflix one.
I didn't see that Yeah. But where there are vampires, but there are also fucking, I don't know, orcs.
Werewolves.
Or just other werewolves. Yeah, yeah, there are also werewolves and
pixies.
Fairies and things.
Yeah.
I really enjoy the idea of modern, like, or sort of futuristic fantasy. Like, those, combining those two things, I think, is interesting. Yeah.
It's
you don't see
Blade
it often
Runner,
enough.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
We just call it Blade and then Runner underneath. So we combine both things, right?
Wesley Snipes, Blade.
Wesley Snipes, Blade, Runner.
Okay.
Sold.
So, and I guess in the increasing difficulty as well, I guess if it's level-based, where maybe it's multi-tier level, I guess the research stage where you try and find the person to kill, then the, you know, single amount in a particular event, and then actually going on to the hunt stage. Mm. I guess if you mess up any of those stages, then you get spotted and then everyone starts to recognize you. Everyone then, if it's as people have just discovered vampires exist, they start to develop new weaponry as time goes on. So the later levels, they've got like, I don't know, stake guns.
Maybe there are just less people out during the day cycle. So, the other way. People aren't out during the night because they know vampires can't go out during the day.
It's a vampire curfew. Yeah, yeah.
It's harder to find people later in the game, or you've got to go out in the day.
Have we not thought about like what Ryan's initial idea was? From what I understood, are you saying basically that you will go through different ages? Was that the initial idea? Like you maybe
yes,
start off.
Yes, that's a good point, actually. So I guess, vampires, they're immortal, right? Assuming they feast for long enough.
Caveman vampire.
Caveman vampire all the way through to cyberpunk.
Still in a dapper suit, though. In like,
yeah.
I love how we've immediately changed the budget from basically probably quite low to just fucking whatever. Just maximum amount.
That's the whole point of this podcast, is the fucking budget.
But I mean, what if you could start out where, like, right at the beginning of the game, you're not a vampire. You become a vampire. You get feasted on or whatever.
The first level is you are at the target, right? And you're just walking around doing an ordinary shit in the game. There's tutorial stuff like, oh, I can't get through this
what
gap.
Age is
you need
this?
To. Yeah, this is Caveman.
Yeah, yeah.
And someone says Caveman. To you, I need to get through this gap. I don't know how. And then on screen, it says, press C to crouch. And you go through the gap. And someone says, oh, can you turn this?
Press oog to oog.
Can you pick up this rock for me? And you look
you
at it, it says,
it
press
wall.
F. Yeah. So that's the tutorial segment. And then, a caveman vampire bites you. And
a cave
then, a cave bat. Yeah, you're the original vampire.
A cave bat.
You're the first ever vampire from caveman times, and this is you surviving through. And the harder levels, you're just getting more and more upset because you're just like, oh man, I used to be so cool, but now everyone's got really cool technology. In the future levels, everyone's got like cyber legs, so they can jump super high just like you. And you're just like, oh man, now I'm not cool. I'm not a cool caveman vampire.
You could get cybernetics. You're immortal. It doesn't mean you can't upgrade yourself. Maybe that's how the skill tree works. Yeah.
Oh my god. So only in the very late game do you start to actually upgrade your character because of
you could upgrade it along the way. I'm talking like you could do normal skill tree. Like improve stealth. Like you, vampires have abilities, right? So they can turn into bats, they can turn invisible, climb up walls. Maybe you can unlock those as you, the more you feast. So it's like not experience level, it's like blood level. So like you've got to drink a certain amount of liters to, you know, unlock this skill point.
That's quite an interesting thought, though. What if you
just
had
smash 10 gallons of blood quickly?
What if you had to maintain that level? What if you stop drinking blood, you start losing skills? So even if you're late game.
Oh, yeah.
So the more you put into skills, the harder you make the game for yourself.
Yeah.
There's the risk reward. I want to be really good, but if I'm really good, it's more maintenance to keep control of that.
Yeah.
So, okay. So
you let it drop away if you're like, I don't need this, whatever. But yeah, just a thought.
Yeah. So I guess there's that you start at like a middle ground. Like the middle ground is zero, right? Weirdly enough, like level zero is middle. If you drink a load of blood, or if you like kill someone, then you drink more of their blood, and that just kills them. So you get more XP. But killing them, I guess, also means you're more likely to be spotted, or your I guess future levels will be tougher because this person's vanished. Yeah. Must have been vampires. But if you just drink their blood and then turn them into a vampire or leave them or whatever it is, then you get less experience. So as you drink more, you go from 0 to 10. But if you don't drink enough blood, or if you fail a level completely, which is, I guess, possible, like you just have to flee the scene, then you go into negative levels, which then starts giving you debuffs. You're like really weak, you're really frail, your health is reduced, your speed is reduced.
Your skin goes all weird, so it's a lot harder for people will immediately see that something's odd about you. So you can't get that close to people. Fuck yeah, that's really cool.
You start turning more Nosferatu. And it's basically, if you fail a level, the game is much harder, which means you fail a level, which means the game is impossible.
But what if also, like, as you go through the ages, the older you get, the more blood you require to maintain a base level, like your base zero level or whatever. Like because when you see really old, I'm thinking of like what we do in the shadows now, but when you see really, really old vampires who are like 2000 years old or something, they're all really like wrinkled and fucked and they sleep all the time, don't they?
I thought they were ageless.
Well, I don't know. I think maybe they just age a lot slower perhaps, or because they're not immortal.
No, they don't age. You stay at the age you're turned into
when
a
you
vampire.
Returned. Yeah.
So maybe they were
like in Skyrim. In the Dark Brotherhood in Skyrim, there's that little girl who she just hunts like creepy people and paedophiles, and then she just kills them.
So going back to the initial idea of like the being that, what if you were the first vampire?
Yeah.
And so every vampire then that is created is completely your doing. You choose whether to make someone a vampire or not. And then that, like, what effect could that have on the gameplay as you go through the ages? Is that beneficial to you? Or do people then become more aware that vampires would exist? Does that work?
You start to build, like Chris was saying, like a brotherhood of all these people, but how would that help you? Because I guess the ultimate goal is keep yourself alive and get your target, right? But if you build a brotherhood, how can they help you? Maybe they show up every now and then in missions.
Because that feels like that's what you need to do just to stay alive, right? In which case, that's almost just like a survival game. But I think we need something else. Like, what if there's like something, another big enemy that like, what if there's werewolves? And like your ultimate goal is to, like, you're the first vampire, and also werewolves are ageless, and you're in a constant battle with the first werewolf to destroy the werewolves.
Right, the person who taught you how to crouch, they're a werewolf.
Yeah, the person who taught you how to crouch, that's it.
The person who taught you how to crouch is Blade. He's a vampire hunter.
It could be a vampire hunter, yeah. But like something where like the ultimate goal of the game is to do something. It's not just to like, oh, I need to keep topping myself up.
It should be to stop someone. Like you do in Assassin's Creed, something. Where you've got the Templars and the Assassins, right? The Templars are trying to... I can't even keep up anymore. What are they trying to do now? Take over the world, stop the world. Shout something.
Stop the world turning.
Just stop the world. Mm. And then you, as the Assassins, have to, you know, stop them by killing certain people in their structure, their hierarchy. So maybe it's a similar story to that. Like in Shadow of Mordor, right? So you work your way up a hierarchy system. Yeah. Things, but like you're like, okay, I need to go after them next. So maybe you go into one level where you can find some, if it's like Hitman, the bespoke designed levels, but maybe you can hide information that might reveal a character two, you know, levels up in this thing, and you can find out some information which you can then utilize later on. It might be like, he's, you know, allergic to this, and you can try and utilize that and then get him alone because he's having, you know, you can utilize different mechanics.
Let's just go Castlevania style and say the person you're against is a Belmont, and it's just a family of vampire hunters they always, with every generation, teach more vampire hunters, and that's just, they've got a guild of vampire hunters. You're trying to create a coven of your own to eventually be able to fight them, or
it's
whatever.
An endless struggle.
Covens, witches.
You're gearing up to the final.
I think covens are vampire covens, aren't there?
Yeah,
I didn't think
covens
a coven,
are originally are witches.
Covens are witches. Tom, are you, you utter disgrace.
I'm sorry.
Coming here, collective plural noun for that as well.
Yeah, I thought it was a thrall of
it
vampires.
In this one, in this game, it's a coven, and if anyone questions it, we'll just say it's part of the lore.
I still really love the idea of Hitman.
Like, it's called a, it's called a clutch.
Fantastic.
Oh, you can a call clutch. It a coven, but people call it a clutch or a brood.
A brood.
A clutch, I like that.
A clutch of vampires.
Yeah, because I don't know, you clutch yourself in terror. Clutch
or
your
a clan.
Terror,
your crucifix to stop them from coming closer to you.
There you go.
That's why.
Having these Hitman style levels where you're going out to like these really, really like incredibly well designed levels where you could approach from lots of different angles and you have your target. Could that work in terms of like if you do a bunch of, because I really like the idea of doing that research first of like, you know, finding a target and finding like of it being a really big deal when you go out and drain someone. It's not just like, oh, there's a guy there, I'm gonna just fucking suck them off now.
That's the exact term that vampires use. I'm going to go suck off that man.
is that part of the story? Maybe you think you're the only vampire, and then you start hunting a person, and then you go to bite them, and then it's like, oh, no. I'm just sucking dust here.
I thought you were going to say like this is like a love story. You go to bite them and notice they've been bitten before, and it's actually a romance game. It's like 50 Shades of Grey, and it's just called They've Been Bitten Before.
50 Shades of Blood.
So with vampire thralls, right? They are eternally serving the person that turned them. Right? They have their there's a vampire hierarchy where the person who was turned serves the person who turned them, and that person serves the person who turned them. Maybe one level you go to bite someone, he's a vampire, so you're like, whoa, okay, so there's another vampire going around who's actually, maybe you're the one who's not turning some people, and then you suddenly find out there is a vampire who is turning people into vampires.
Are you under the assumption that you're the only vampire? You think I must be this crazy? It just happened. I just woke up. I can't die today. I'm really hungry for blood.
Look, like vampires are so secret. Like, I feel like in a vampire society, there must be a vampire somewhere who just assumes they're the only one because the society is so secretive.
How are you going to know? Like, it's how did they become a vampire? Vampires are signposted.
They were bitten by a vampire bat when they were a caveman. Okay, we've been over this.
I was going to say, like, I was bitten by a vampire. I'm a vampire, therefore I am the only vampire. How did you get bitten? Oh, by a vampire. Well, you can't be the only vampire. No. Okay. I am the only vampire.
But like, finding your mark or whatever and following them and stuff, is that too drawn out? Would it be better to just have, like, gameplay-wise, would it be better to just have, like, okay, this is your target, go and hunt them down, Hitman style, or does it work if you have a bit more of a build-up?
Hitman style is done in such a way where it's like you're thrown into a level and in between levels there's, like, little cutscenes, right, where it's just like, you know, oh, story moment, this guy is a bad guy, you should probably kill him, or this guy is the leader of this business and he needs you to kill him, Agent 47, and you're just like, yeah, sure, I'll do it, whatever. I guess, yeah, you can have little story moments in between the levels where it's like, I found the guy, he's really juicy, oh my god, his blood, oh my
what
god,
those,
I need it.
If those,
you know,
story
what I appreciate not going
in
for
your
the
apartment. Sorry, Chris.
Right, I was gonna say, I appreciate Tom not going for the stereotypical vampire voice there.
No, this is a vampire from Brooklyn.
Oh, yeah. Transylvanian.
Heavy Transylvanian. He was very gruff, like a gruff American. then. That was nice.
Yeah, this is, I'm sucking here.
I'm sucking here.
Yeah. Oh. So that's the character. He's a very Brooklyn vampire.
He's from New York.
He's
got an accent. He's a caveman. He's been alive long enough to be able to replicate perfectly.
No,
any
maybe
accent.
Maybe he hasn't replicated accents. That's the thing. He is exactly as he was when he was turned.
So when, he was a caveman.
When he was a caveman.
Hey, I'm Argan here. I sound like a broken record. What's the game mechanic for finding your target here? Because that's the only thing I can't picture. Like, do you have to go take your character to a library for 3 hours and scroll through public archives? Like,
James mentioned the board and the strings and stuff, right? Like, what if, like Tom says, you've got the Hitman-style levels, and then in between them, instead of a cutscene, you're back in your shitty Brooklyn apartment and you've got a bottle of whiskey, because that's the only thing. You can only drink spirits. You can't eat or drink anything else. You can just drink spirits for whatever reason.
Is that a thing?
I don't know.
He means ghosts.
Make our own lore up.
You can't pick up any items. And, you can go through doors just like vampires do.
Have you guys played a Nightcall? Nightcall is basically like you play as a... Right at the beginning of the game, there's some kind of horrific murder. And I can't remember exactly how it works, but basically like...
Unlike those non-horrific police, murders.
the chief of police like appears in your taxi and is like, okay... We think you have some kind of connection to this killer. You might know something about them. You have to keep a lookout. At some point, they're going to come into your vehicle, and you have to let us know. You have 2 weeks or whatever. Let us know who you think it is. Basically, it's something like, I can't remember what the setup is, but it's basically that. And so the game is you're doing nights, so you're asleep in the day, and you're traveling around, driving around the Paris. In the night, picking up just different clients and chatting to them, hearing about their stories or whatever. And while you do that, you have to figure out who the killer is. But between that, you're back in your apartment and you have this huge cork board where you're shifting around all these different subjects that are like, okay, I know that the murderer used a knife, and I know that this person, because of this news article, this newspaper clipping I've read, works at the knife factory. I don't know, but you're doing, Chris, you look so confused.
Did you say that you play as a taxi driver and the police tell you that you're going to have a murderer get into your car?
Yes, right. I wasn't saying it was a realistic setup.
This is very much like the film Armageddon, where they train miners to be astronauts, not astronauts to mine. Why can't they? Police can drive. Hello, Mr. Police Detective.
No, that was it.
Please be an undercover taxi driver.
At the beginning of the game, I think you were attacked. I think you were attacked, but you managed to survive.
And that earns you the right to become a detective.
That earns you the right to, I think, because they're like, okay, you know what they like, you might
you've
recognize
been attacked
them or something.
You'll
some
recognize
kind of like that.
If you get attacked again, if you get attacked again, you'll understand what's happening.
Yeah,
it's something like
sorry,
that.
Sorry, anyway, that just really
like,
confused
that
me.
You have that you're like in between the actual main gameplay. You've got your apartment where you're setting up all these different like. Maybe that's it. Maybe it's not like okay. You have to fucking go to the library or you have to like open the yellow pages and look through people and then follow them around. But what if you just have? What if you have the initial setup of okay? The game has provided me a list of potential targets. Mm. I'm going to put these together and figure out which one I want to go for.
You could do it
maybe
in conjunction with what I said earlier in terms of finding information out on the level that you were on. If it's hierarchical, you know that they might have information about the person above them in the hierarchy. So the more, it means that you don't just go in and kill, you go in, you stay stealth, you look around, gather information about the next person you're going to kill, and then you make your kill.
Yeah.
So if the targets then could the targets also be like you have two different you've got the victims where you just need to feed from them, but then you have the vampire hunters that you're trying to, there are specific pawns within this vampire hunter, the Belmont family or whatever it is that you're trying to take out and get more information from or something.
I mean, just to touch on what you said before,
I still like
about
the idea
court board thing. Oh, oops.
Oh.
Sorry.
Oh, he's cut. Hello. Sorry. He's cut. Yeah.
Terrible connection. I was just going to, before we move on, it's just that vampires have familiars in common lore. Maybe you've got someone that go and collects targets for you. That's how the court board is populated, is that you have an underling or a familiar that you bully into going to get targets for you. It's like they go and...
Of course, yeah.
Yeah, and maybe that you could even incorporate a management element into the game where you've got a map of the city or something and you say, you send your familiar here. It's like, go scout this area. I think there could be someone there. And they come back with a list of targets. Yeah, yeah.
And they have their own skill tree.
Cool. Yeah, well, skill tree. I like that. Shit, why not? Sorry, Tom, what were you going to say?
So wait, so you are a vampire that was made into, let's just say that you are, as far as you know, the only vampire for whatever reason.
The little vampire.
The little vampire that could. You've got a thrall, someone that, I mean, vampires have loads of different powers, right? They can turn into mist, they can fly, they can seduce people, they can obviously bite and kill and turn people and whatever, hypnotize and all of these different little things. Maybe there's one guy that you've hypnotized, they're your little familiar or whatever it is. And you're just like, right, you go out in the day, find someone for me. And in Hitman style, he then comes back in between levels and is like, yep, there's this dude here. He's real juicy. You'll love him. And you're like, right, cool. I'll go after this guy. And that's just what the level setup is. Mm. Juicy dude, loads of blood, you go and kill him. Then you find one that has a bite mark on him. You know, you get to the end of the level, you spend a load of blood points or whatever to kill this guy, and he gives you no reward because he's got no blood. Mm. So you're like, I didn't do this.
He's got no blood.
Because he's a vampire.
Oh, I see. Okay,
So you're trying to discover, you're basically trying to break into a vampire organization and maybe shut it down because you're like, this vampire organization, they're doing things more aggressively than you are. If they go too wild, then, you know, they are going to make vampires a fact in the world and you want to stop that from happening. So you're trying to take them down. Chris, what's up?
I was trying to figure out a way of making people have a threat. So when I was talking about gathering information and gathering intel in previous levels, I was trying to figure out a way of making them want to do that. Because if they're just given it anyway, what's the reason? What's the point of doing it? So what if it's like XCOM? So there's a thing.
Oh, there we go.
A timer and well, no, but as in you know the advent.
There it is.
Have their.
The Avatar
end
project.
Goal. Yeah, the Avatar project, that's the one. So
I have to remind people every episode.
I always forget why it's stupid. So the more information you find, the quicker it is to find your next target, right?
Yeah.
So everything takes in-game days, right? So you'll be like, okay, I found all this information. It's only going to take me a day to locate where this guy's going to be. So that only ticks up a day. And then if you take him out, then it maybe drops down a day or however you want to work it. But it encourages people when they're in the levels to explore and try and find as much information as they can because they know that it's going to tick up however many days to take to fight until they find their next target. Because otherwise there's not really a sense of threat. Like if I'm just going to, I could go in, kill, and go, oh, you did it. Here's your next target. Kill. Here's your next target. Kill. But if there's not a reason to explore and branch out and find things, then I don't think like you don't have that sense of urgency. There needs to be an impending. Maybe it's like you're going to get discovered by the vampire hunters or like that's their end thing, or they're going to, I don't know, do something. An event is going to happen at that. It's bad for you. So you need to stop it. And that's how you do it. And then like as you said, you send your familiar out, but the more information you have, the quicker they can find that next target. Mm. So therefore
what
it ticks up less.
What if the vampire hunter family, the head of the vampire hunter family is about to become mayor of the city?
The president of the United States.
The president of the United States. And so you have to, because I just thought of a reason.
And he's
like,
going to bomb Transylvania.
It might not be. Okay. What if it doesn't have to be necessarily that you're the only vampire that ever existed. It could just be like, what if it was at the turn of the century or something, you know, when like, or even much earlier, like say if it was like LA Noir kind of time, like 1940s or something, where you think you're the only vampire in the country.
Tom. Okay. I think I've got it. Okay.
See? Yeah. Okay. Gonna suck some blood, see?
So step one, you're a vampire. We know this. Okay. Now, I think there is a faction of vampire hunters. They're not hunting you. Mm-hmm. They're hunting the other family of vampires that you've only just found out about, right?
Okay.
So you are trying, you know that when the vampire hunters attack them, the vampires, this little faction of vampires, they're going to respond very aggressively, right? So you're like the good vampire who's like, right, I need to break my way into the top of this vampire faction to try and stop this from happening, or maybe even break my way into the top of the vampire hunter faction to try and stop this all-out war between vampire hunter and vampires from happening, because then that'll just be chaos if all the vampires start
fighting.
You're
trying to preserve the balance,
basically. You're trying to keep the balance, maybe by, I don't know, killing off one faction yourself, or I don't know, like... You're like a rogue element,
you're not supposed
to
kill other vampires, are you? That's really bad. Mm. Vampires killing vampires.
You're like the rogue element that is kind of whipping between the war zone, trying to navigate it to try and stop it from ever happening before the war begins. And maybe like the level structure is done in such a way where XCOM is like stuff happens and you're reacting to it at random times. Maybe you only need to feed once a week, right? Mm. And in the 6 days between the last feed and the next mission, you can then do little bits of research to try and pick the missions. If you don't manage to get like a story mission in 6 days, then you kind of have to do like a little one-off mission to get more blood or whatever.
I
was just gonna say, what, like, relating to that, what if the idea of feeding, say if you know I have to feed within, like, in 5 days' time, I'm going to have to feed. And right. So whatever mission you happen to be doing at that point, whatever level you have to be at, you have to feed on that mission. Mm. And that will make it considerably harder to kill your target, because you have to kill your target and find a victim as well. And so you kind of want to try and manage which missions you pick on which days, because if you're forced into picking a really tough mission where you also have to feed, that's going to be really, really difficult for you.
Yeah, maybe in between that time, you're also like researching little side missions so that you can do these side missions in the 5 days. But you also have to try and allocate yourself to like, okay, I also need to try and discover more about this path. And it's kind of a balance of what do you research and what missions do you do at the end of each week? James, what you got?
About that, talking about that balance, Tom, you mentioned like, are you a good vampire? Does that mean that you don't kill? Do you get a choice? Do you just feed or do you kill them?
You have to, right? Well, you have to.
Do you have to kill them or do you just have to like try and be stealthy?
Is it like, stop doing that now. Okay.
You just knock them out and then you feed on them.
Knock them out and feed them.
And then they wake up and they're like, what the fuck's this all about? But like,
they still want to kill people.
Well, this individual vampire, if they're good, they're trying to get in between these two warring factions, are you actually saying that there's an alignment, like a paragon sort of alignment? You can choose to and kill these people, make your missions easier, but then you're aligning yourself more with the bad vampires.
I don't think you're necessarily a good or a bad vampire. You are just a vampire who's trying to exist, right? Yeah. But you also, your main thing is just stopping this all-out war from happening between the vampire hunters and the vampire.
What I like about Alex's idea especially is that if you're on the mission and you have to feed and you don't have a chance, like let's say you're trying to be nice, you're not trying to kill people, whatever. Maybe there's more points awarded if you don't kill people. But if you have to feed, and you get this bloodlust where you will have to kill them to satiate that bloodlust. That's a really interesting mechanic, I think, of like you forced into a situation.
And I think that's the thing. What if like the more that you need to, I don't know, like what if there was some, this doesn't really make sense logically, but if the longer you leave it to feed, the more, could there be some way that you're almost more powerful? Like you have a certain kind of ability that makes you, I swear a game's done this before, but like, so you want to try and leave it as long as you can to feed before you do it, because there's some kind of benefit from doing that.
That's what we're saying with where you get positive and negative. More damage, the lower your health. A lot of like card games do it as well, where like if your health is under 30%, you hit extra 30.
Like, I think the way skills work and the way leveling works is on a fluctuating level where there's, you know, if you're high on blood, then you've got higher vampire skills, but maybe you're I don't know, certain abilities are weakened. If you're low on blood, your ferocity is much higher, but you're weaker and slower.
The ferocimometer.
Really fucking cranky.
Like maybe even there's literally just a stat of like how there's well you cover up a kill or something. Like you've got a brutality meter, and if you're too low... If you're too low on blood, then you really tear them to shreds, and it's like, oh shit,
the Last of Us 2.
This is obviously really, he was obviously really killed by a vampire. People spot it and people react to it or whatever. But the higher your blood level, the better you are at subtly killing people while still getting, I don't know, something like that. So longer you leave it, the tougher it is to cover it up. But it doesn't necessarily make you weaker or stronger. It's just two different paths, two different sort of play styles that you can work towards on either end. I think. I kind of like the idea of you're just seeing stuff happen as they go, and you're kind of reacting to the way these two factions are interacting with each other, but not necessarily affecting you. Although I guess they could affect you in some way. Like if there's a big vampire attack and against the, you know, Belmont family, the vampire hunters, then they upgrade their weaponry and you're like, okay, now if I go against a mission against these guys, they've upgraded the weaponry because of what this other faction has done. Mm. And you're just trying to work your way to the top to stop it from happening somehow. Maybe you kill the leaders, or I don't know, maybe you turn the vampire hunter leader into a vampire, or I don't know. But
that could be cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's how that's the way you navigate through it, is stuff is happening around you and you're reacting to it in such a way that it's affecting your play style, but it's not necessarily affecting you as your character, right? You're just trying to stop this from happening, damn it.
So going back to like the gameplay itself and the levels and stuff, how are you imagining, can you guys think of like ways, like I mean, in Hitman, obviously he's using his Hitman abilities to bend in and to do so. How does that work as a vampire? And what kind of dangers do you, like are threatening you? Being caught and all this kind of stuff.
Similar to Thief, right? And also, if there's, I don't know, maybe you're one of your victims, well, one of the areas you're going to has like a, it could be anywhere, right? If it's a public place, it could have a chapel in it, right? Well, you can't go in there, you're a vampire, right? So like you have to wait for your victim. like there are a lot of hazards that vampire, say you're trying to mingle in with a crowd, but there's a fucking huge mirror there, right? Everyone's gonna be like, you don't have a reflection.
You're chasing someone down, you're walking down the street and there's like those two guys just carrying a mirror across the street. Like,
classic.
But there are certain like environmental hazards you have to look out for as well. But if you're trying to be sneaky, you obviously use shadows. You can use height. If you can turn into a bat, get up to a ledge, unbecome a bat, you know, that term. And then you can use your powers to get advantages, whether it's over using the environment or certain things, hypnosis like to make someone cause a distraction.
I like the idea that as time, if we're keeping the time progression thing, it will get camera phones and security cameras will become a thing. So, and you don't get picked up by those either. So that's another thing to avoid, is like seeing a coat just walk past a security camera. So you've got to keep.
Oh shit. Yeah. You have to avoid security cameras completely. Yeah.
The thing is with Hitman though, there's a lot of the ways that you can kill people is accidental deaths, quote unquote, where you rig a barbecue and it explodes or you cut the line of a chandelier and it falls onto him and stuff like that. So you can kind of mask your kill to make it look like an accidental thing. Whereas in this, I think the main thing is to separate your target from everybody else.
Mm. Right. Yeah.
And maybe you've got like a limited seduction, I guess, where you just convince someone, you're just like, right, you need to go talk to this dude, get him out of there somehow. Maybe after like 20 seconds, this person is suddenly like, whoa, okay, what just happened to me? And they start freaking out because they're like, something's just happened to me or whatever. And maybe there's, after a certain cooldown, stuff starts happening as they react to the stuff that's going on around them.
I found a way to save a lot of dev time as well, because as a vampire, you need to be invited into the building. So maybe you just never get invited inside, so we never have to do the inside of a house.
That's true.
Very good.
You have to seduce the right person to invite you in. But seduction is very obvious when you do it. You're like waving your hand in front of them and there's like sparkles and shit.
It has a casting
like a
time.
Watch out. It's just like...
So you can't do it to like the bodyguard on the front door, because the other bodyguard will see it. So you have to try and find someone of authority to let you in. It's kind of like picking up outfits in Hitman, except you're trying to pick up the right person who has the right access.
Right.
And this guy has the key card.
Sherbert.
yeah.
What happens with like, what are the main dangers in these kind of levels? Are if you're trying to get to target, like, is it mostly the general population noticing you? Like, is that what's going to, or are there like you say, bodyguards, or they're like army, or they're like secret other vampires? Do you have to watch out for other vampires potentially that you don't know are vampires?
Depends on the style of mission, right? Like if you're going against like a rich noble guy, then yeah, it's going to be heavily defended, or maybe it's going to be a party that's full of people. So that's one like difficulty of trying to separate your guy. Maybe you're going against like the easy missions, you're just killing some randomer in an alleyway, right? But that gives you shitty gooey blood, and you don't want shitty gooey blood. And then obviously if you're going against the vampire hunter faction missions, then they're heavily armed, like they know you exist, so they know exactly what to look for. If you're going against the vampires in some form, then you know, they're vampires. That's a different mission entirely. So they're hiding in shadows. They're doing exactly what you can do. So they've both, those both faction side missions, I think, have their own difficulties and things you have to plan for. And then just the general human feast missions, they're just Hitman, right? basically.
I could really see some potentially good Assassin's Creed style multiplayer coming out of this as well.
What?
I think that could be... What?
I've never seen someone look so disgusted at an idea.
I love Assassin's Creed multiplayer.
You bastard.
But also, where'd that come from?
So you've got... I mean, like, if you've got...
I understand what he means.
If you have, like, a vampire... Say if it's three player, right? You've got one vampire... Or like two vampires and a vampire hunter, or even if it was just basically that, if it was literally like two vampires, two vampire hunters, and you have to figure out who the vampire is.
That's pretty cool.
That I think that could be kind of cool. And the vampires have to drain, you know, like maybe with the multiplayer there is like a very basic. You have a drain meter; it's going down quickly. You have to feast on people. Something like that. That could
so
be
that's
really
an
cool.
entirely new but, game. Great.
That's it. That's a completely different thing. Does anyone feel comfortable summing up what we have here?
I'd like Chris to do it because he's looked confused the entire time.
Well, I'm not going to lie, and I feel like I'm getting ahead of myself, ahead of the podcast here. I was trying to figure out reasons why I want to make it. Because at the moment, I'm a hard no.
That doesn't sound good.
Really?
Wow. I'm a hard no.
Why?
I'm a double no.
What's your problem?
What?
I don't know. I'm trying to find reasons of why I would enjoy it. Like, I know this is really not the response Tom wanted when he asked. When he asked, I don't know. I don't know what it is. Like, I don't. I don't understand the story. There's like a.
Like
I love Assassin's Creed. I like both of those things. But
okay,
I don't.
Fine. I'll recap then because Chris is being a negative Nancy and he wasn't listening.
Give me time to think.
Right. So Chris, specifically Chris, because I feel like James, how do you feel so far? Maybe I can convince you as well.
I kind of don't want to say until after you've done the rebit. Holding it back.
Fuck you, Ryan.
Do you not like it either?
There are elements that I like, but I'm sort of in Chris's camp here where I'm not 100% sure what it is yet.
I kind of like it. All right, fine. Okay.
All right. Well, yeah, you might change your minds now.
I'll do a recap to give you a solid idea of what this game is. It's called Vampire the Masquerade Hitman Edition.
So it was called Blade Runner. No, that's the cyberpunk version.
Yeah, so you are a vampire. You think you're the only... Well, maybe you don't think you're the only one, but you're pretty sure you're one of the very few. Who needs to feed on humans. And there's two stages to the game. The hunt stage and the research stage. We'll call it something cool. And in the hunt stages, you're basically, you know, trying to find your target in a intricately designed level where there's certain solutions to get what you need, but also multiple ways to fail. You've got vampire skills to navigate it as well, going invisible, flying up into the roof thing, and seducing people or whatever else. Vampire abilities, but you have to be invited in as well. So that's stage one of the mission is get invited in first by seducing the right person or whatever. In between missions, you are able to send out your little familiar dude, or maybe you do your own research or whatever, where you try and find the next target for your missions, which after 6 days you have to do because you have to feed every 6-7 days. There's also this sub-story of the vampire hunters as one faction preparing an attack on this other group of vampires that you know about. And you know that when they finally clash, that's what the final countdown is, right? There's a countdown going on of the big clash between the vampire hunters and the vampires. You know that when that war happens, it's irreversible. Like, that just decimates, I don't know, New York or whatever.
It's the event. That's the event I was talking about.
That's the event on Tuesday, July 21st. And you know that you want to stop that from happening. You're not necessarily a good guy, but you want to stop this from happening because it will just destroy vampire and human relations for the rest of time, of which there's currently zero. Whatever, I don't know, fuck it. And
it's a bad thing. You have
that's
to
the
stop
kind
it
of confidence we need, Tom, in
that's
this,
the
in
confidence
this
we need. So once that element is introduced, that's when you then do different levels of research. There's, you know, finding your target so you can feed and upgrade yourself or whatever, but there's also the vampire hunter missions and the vampire clan clutch missions as well, where you're trying to find the targets to stop certain rogue elements inside of these factions of doing their little tasks so that the war eventually simmers down or just stops happening, or maybe you wipe out a faction or whatever. And that's when you can then allocate certain time to finding your target, finding the best target for you to feed and just survive through the game, and also researching different targets within each faction. So you can then do faction missions, which is the main story. And that's what the game is. And honestly, I don't think it's too bad, Chris, James.
Chris looked like a kid in a history lesson when you were...
I know, that's being horrible about history. Love history.
What's your
just
what
not that.
Hell? What's wrong with it?
there's too much going on.
No.
Is there? I don't think so.
There's... I don't. Was that an agreement from James there? I feel like there's.
Was, yeah.
I have no idea what the fuck's happening. There's six-day missions. There's a day mission. No, you've got to wait
there's something
for
missing.
30 minutes.
There's something missing. And
is it a good
I've
idea?
I've had this thought. I've had this thought in my head since Alex.
God.
Sorry, I've got this thought in my head. I've got to get it out. Whoever said that this guy was a gruff like New Yorker. Since then, he's a
that was
private.
Like 40 minutes ago.
He's a private investigator. He's a vampire who's a private investigator, and he only hunts criminals. And people come to him, say, blah, 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 this person's evil, la, 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 la. And then he goes off, he tracks them down, and he kills his target as it's like Dexter. He's like a good serial killer. This guy is a good vampire.
Okay, yeah. Dexter is a good comparison.
There's like a morality to the game that I'm just not following. It's like, okay, what's his motivation?
I agree. This is currently Dexter, but the game is currently the season finale of Dexter.
Whoa!
Which is, I think,
yeah,
steady.
That's in my current thought. That's where it is.
Clear up your 6 day, 7 day confusion thing, right? I think every seven days...
To clear it up, you fuck it, you get rid of it.
No, I think every 7 days you have to do a mission because you have to feed, right?
7 days? And I like the feeding idea.
Right, and at the end of the 7 days, basically your progression within your amount of research or whatever into these factions, into these feeding targets, determines what mission you can do at the end of the 7 days. So that's basically how it works, is if you get enough research to be able to do a faction mission in that time, then at the end of the 7 days, you do a faction mission. If you don't, then you just do a regular feeding mission. And that's how it works, is that's where you kind of... I don't know, you're right, Chris.
No, I think it's basically Hitman with a bit of XCOM in it.
It sort of went down a different path. I think when we shied away from the idea that whilst you're on these missions, if you haven't eaten, you are going to have to try and feed as well. But you need to get away with doing that as well. Like, you have the hunger, you have the thing. Maybe you can last a certain amount of time, but the more you use your abilities, maybe it drains the amount of time that you need to have left to feed. So you need to make sure that was fine. And then you started going on this whole faction narrative, which I couldn't even keep up with. It's easy. There's two factions
who are going to war. You want to stop it. That's it.
But at the start of this, you were the only vampire. You didn't know others existed. Now there's families, there's factions, there's like...
Okay,
you know,
all right. We need to work out the story,
there's
sure.
There's the Capulets. Like, who else is there? There's Robert De Niro's a vampire or
oh
some
God,
shit.
Romeo and Juliet, vampires. Like, vampire and a vampire hunter.
Now it's a love story.
Okay, yeah, look, sure, the story isn't there yet, but that's fine. We can work. This is just for the gameplay, right? Gameplay-wise.
Yeah, Chris.
No?
You say that gameplay-wise.
Well, isn't like that either.
I'm worried it's going to be a very empty game. I'm worried it's going to be very empty.
All right, hang on. Okay, look, wait,
Chris,
hang on.
Chris would just say there's too much in it.
No, wait. In terms of people, in terms of like your targets and things, is like it's. I don't know. Is it just purely stealth game? Is that a bit?
Now I said there was too much. I want to just clarify. I want to clarify what Hitman is. Okay, because a lot of people love that game, and Hitman is exactly that. It's you have a target in an intricate level, you kill him. That's the end of it. And in between the story elements is like, hey, you got a new target. And you're like, yeah, okay, cool. And you just do that level. And there's
that's why we mentioned having to find research. And, you know, the more you research you find, so the more you explore the level, the more you.
But now you're saying you don't like that.
No, that was my idea. I said I liked that.
So what's the problem?
I feel like you've taken that and you've extrapolated it and just you've diluted it too much into this.
No, I just introduced a story.
Yeah, but that ruins it. Tom.
Oh my God,
kiss,
I think this has happened
kiss,
before.
Kiss, Tom, kiss. Keep it simple, stupid. You don't, we just, yeah.
Fine. You're a vampire. You're killing targets for blood. And yeah, the game ends when you've just run out of blood, and that's the end of the game. Would you make it, Chris?
With some caveats. Yes.
No, there's no caveats now. The caveats have been made. I've cut out all the bits you didn't like. Would you make the game if you liked it?
Yeah.
All right, good. James?
Nah, don't think so.
You mean no? The vampire game is you're just killing people. You're just a vampire and you're just killing targets.
That's boring,
actually. No. You don't have special abilities either. There's no interesting leveling system. You can't go into negative levels. It's boring. No. So that's
don't
the
think
game,
I would.
Man. You wouldn't make it. No, I wouldn't even play
it
either because it's shit.
I thought this was good. I was I was really enjoying myself throughout this whole discussion.
I really like the fact that
I did not expect it to end here.
I like the fact we were talking about bloodlines, and it turns out Tom Hazel's not very good at coming up with ideas.
Oh my God. So, wait, hang on. I can save it.
I'm sorry,
guys.
Ryan.
Hang
no, that was a joke. That was a joke.
Bring it back. I think it could be good. I think that if we put the story aside, I think the idea of like finding a target, hunting, doing stealth, you've
it's
got this
cool
bloodlust. You've got this, maybe you've still got this skill tree, which, you know, it plus minus skill tree. That difficulty element. If we bring in the time shifting thing, like if you progress through time, I really like that idea. That obviously it gets harder as you progress. People get camera phones, more technology. It's harder to blend in, get away with murders. I think that's really cool. I think the idea that you're just a vampire and morality be damned, you are just a vampire. Maybe you're a bit torn up about it. You don't like killing people, but you have to do it. That's an interesting spin. I don't think you need all the other faction bullshit.
So what's the game? What's the game?
Tom looks livid.
But what are you doing? What's the purpose? Just survive.
Just survive.
That's the thing. That's what I agree. There has to be a higher
purpose.
That's what the
event countdown was.
But what's the event countdown? Everyone gets camera phones.
Well,
we can
talk
your
idea
instantly.
That you just said was shit.
No, that was my idea. It was the advent thing.
Yeah, the advent thing is all out war between the vampire hunters and the vampires.
Yeah, but you added so much extra shit to it.
No, I didn't.
You've got to spend 7 years
event,
researching and then like, we got there's a lad.
If there's
oh,
an event
a guy.
And a countdown, right, and you're trying to stop this event from happening, all out war or just some other story thing, how do you stop it?
I'm going to say, I guess maybe I was so bored that I stopped listening. And then maybe that I didn't, maybe because of that, I don't understand because I must have missed something because I just don't get it.
Okay, so look,
I don't remember zoning out, but
it's quite divisive. Tom and I versus the developers.
I think it's a cool game.
Whoa. I think I'm more of a maybe, if it's based on what I said.
Okay.
No. Put yourself in that place. You're a no. And you can argue your point. You're on Chris's side now.
Devs against the pitchers.
All right, so we're going to have to end this podcast because it's gone quite a while.
It's going
to
be a fight.
We need to go and have a fight.
Tomorrow, are going to be thrown.
20th of July, the day before the apocalypse, we'll be streaming live on twitch.tv/yogscast, right?
Like hell we are.
And don't worry, we're not making a vampire game.
But what time is it? What time is it, Chris? Do you guys know?
Just after 8
p.m.
Archer GMT, Admirals.
Okay, summertime, whatever it is. Also, BST. We're into the second week of Tiny Teams Festival. So if you're interested in submitting a game, if you have a game, it's on Steam, and you want to be part of it, you'll get amazing visibility from it. Please take a look, yogscast.games, have a look there, because it's going to be fucking great. We've got some amazing games in it that I'm so excited that I don't want to say it, because if I say them, I'll jinx it and the whole thing will fall through.
That's Brunch Club and Drink More Glup.
And Brunch Club.
Just check out Tiny Teams.
And Drink More Glup. But yeah, holy shit. Thanks very much, everyone, for listening.
Thanks, Ryan. Sorry, Ryan.
We'll see you all next week. Bye.
Bye.
Wow.